Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Turn with me, if you will, today to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'd like to start a series today called Because of the Times. Because of the Times. As you know, time has a lot of different uses in our vocabulary. We use the word time to describe a specific point, maybe in our day or in our journey in life. Have you ever said, I need to get to work on time? If you ever had kids, you probably have heard this. Is it lunchtime yet? I know one of my favorite times during school was recess. I really enjoyed that time. Have you ever said this? I've told you time and time and time again. You ever had somebody show up just at the right time in your life? So we say, yeah, their timing was perfect. We also use the word time when we're talking about the length of something. You know, how much more time are you going to need to get the job done? I've heard this before. Don't worry, you'll have a lifetime to figure it out. Have you ever heard somebody say, yeah, when they're talking about things, they say, yeah, that was a good time in my life, or that was a real rough time in my life. What are we talking about? We're talking about seasons, or there again, a span of time, but during that, there were certain conditions that affected that season. And so it was a good time, or maybe it was a bad time. And so the truth of the matter is that even though each of us are eternal, in other words, we'll live forever without question. We are eternal beings, meaning that we'll exist forever. But right now in our earthly body, even though we're eternal, time is a very important thing. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. Why do I say that? Well, James said this in James 4 and 14. What is your life? You're a vapor, a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. When you compare this life to eternity, it really is just a vapor. It really is just a short time. It's just a moment in the flash of eternity. And then it's gone. In there again, our current situation. And what makes time such a big deal for us is that what's done now in this short span will determine our eternal destination, which makes our time now of the utmost value. And what we need to realize is that the value is not just in the sense of the length of our lifetime, but the value is found in every moment of each and every day. It's found in moments of time and what's done in those moments that culminate into a lifetime, regardless of its length. That's where the value is found. In other words, the journey is just as important as the destination for each and every one of us. Why? Because there again, the things done now determine our eternal destination. Wow. And so with that in mind, listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 15. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, in these two verses, verses 15 and verse 16, Paul gives us two things, insight and he gives us instruction. Insight and instruction. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm extremely thankful for people who can see things from a different vantage point than me. Oftentimes, I'll be going through life and Jill, who is right there, right beside me, and she'll say something and she'll show me something that I didn't even see. It wasn't even in my thinking process. And yet it was vital, her insight was vital for us to have the right outcome. It's happened time and time and time again. So I'm grateful for those people that have a different perspective than me to help me and give me insight in my situation. And I'm doubly thankful for those people who not only have insight, but they can also give me instruction. They can help me get through whatever I'm going through to a good outcome. Amen. And so Paul in this scripture is giving us insight, but also he's given us instruction. So let's start with the insight. What insight is Paul giving to us? The insight is found in the last words of verse 16, where he says, the days are evil. The days are evil. Now, this word evil that he's using refers to the effect that Satan and sin is having in the earth. What was happening at that time? In Paul's day, there was dealing with all types of sexual sins and perversion, adultery and fornication and homosexuality, lesbianism. All of those things were happening. The Bible says that there was rampant greed in society. Their government was corrupt. There was all kinds of things happening, excessive taxes and misuse of power. Do you know they even had false doctrine? They had false prophets. False gods, people that were claiming that they were God, and they were trying to deceive the people and trying to infiltrate the church. People back then were calling good evil and evil good. Families were under attack, fighting and bickering and broken homes and child abuse, and on and on and on it goes. And all of those things they were experiencing and a whole lot more were the direct result or effect of Satan and sin in the earth. Not to mention the hardships and the toil that they had to face each day just trying to keep their head above water. Have you ever been there before? Just trying to make it through, let alone all that. Paul said it right when he said the days are evil. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's not very much of an insight. I mean, surely the people there could see all of the things that were going on around about him. And more than likely, you're probably right about a certain amount of people. But I think the case for the majority is more like this, that they're just kind of going through life and they're just kind of focused on their journey, focused on their routines, focused on what needs to be done. And they just don't really see some of the things that's going on around about them. Just there again, trying to keep their head above water. And so they're so focused on that, that they just go through life and they just don't see those kind of things. I think also there are those who have become so accustomed to the sin and to the evil round about them that they just don't pay attention to it anymore. Callous. Have you ever been raking or doing something, some kind of motion that rubs on certain parts of your body on a consistent level? What happens after a while? To protect itself, the skin begins to get hard. It begins to kind of roughen itself up because it knows that, yes, it's going to happen again. And so I need to protect that area. I need to get hard in that area so that action isn't affecting me anymore. Sometimes that can happen to us spiritually as well, is that we can get calloused to certain things. And believe me, that's not good, because when you don't see anymore, or when you don't pay attention to something anymore, it gets left unattended. And whenever evil is left unattended, it grows like a weed and continues to do damage. And so I think that that's part of the reason why Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 37 that as it was in the days of Noah, that's how it's going to be when the Son of Man returns. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so here's what Jesus says. You must be ready. Why? Because of the times. You need to be ready. He said, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. So Paul's looking at all this. that's going on in his day. And he says to this church in Ephesus, he says, the times that we're living in, they're full of evil. And what's interesting is that though Paul wrote this some 1900 years ago, it sounds a lot like today. It sounds a lot like the things that we see in our earth today. I mean, you read the paper, you listen to the news, and you hear the same exact things happening, the same types of things going on. And it should be no surprise to the child of God, because there again, Paul is giving insight to a young preacher named Timothy. And look at what he said, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He said, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be perilous times. For people will love only themselves and their money. Know anybody like that? They will be boastful and proud. Do you know anybody like that? Scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. Sound like anybody you know? They will consider nothing sacred. Is that not our society today? I was watching a show the other night, and the question was, what's the first thing you're going to ask for when you get to heaven? The number one answer was liquor. Interesting, isn't it? Nothing sacred anymore. There again, we don't want to get legalistic in this or whatever, but I remember growing up where we reverenced the house of God. And so I didn't do a lot of what kids do today in church. We didn't do a lot of things that kids do to their parents and in school, because there was a reverence there that's not in our society today. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and they'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, and they'll be reckless and puffed up with pride. And they will love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. That describes to a T the times that you and I live in today. I mean, when someone can legally kill a baby right up to the very moment that that baby was to come out of the womb, the days are evil. When the definition of marriage being one man and one woman in holy matrimony before God is literally illegal, and anything goes, the days are evil. When a man can legally walk into a woman's bathroom and use the facilities right next to a little girl, the days are evil. When Christians can be legally sold into slavery and raped and tortured and killed, and their homes and property and places of worship be confiscated and burned to the ground, the days are evil. When families can suffer in severe poverty and die from sickness and starvation, while the governments of the countries they live in enjoy extreme wealth and overindulgence, trust me, the days are evil. When a child can walk into a public school and get contraception and even a ride to an abortion clinic to have their unborn child killed without the parents' consent or even the right to know what's happening, the days, my friend, are evil. Not to mention pornography, the effects of drugs and alcoholism, murder, and so many other things that's in the world today. It goes without saying that, yes, we are living in perilous times. And here's my concern this morning. My concern is that it's so prevalent in our daily lives that though we may not partake of those things, we don't even pay attention anymore, resulting in nothing at all being done to stem the tide. So what are we to do? Well, Paul gives us instruction. He says, because of the times, here's what we are to do. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Be careful then how you walk. It's easy to see how others are walking. But today, let's reflect on how we're walking for just a few moments. He said, be careful then how you walk. There again, talking to the church. There again, the times were evil. It's the same as today. We are literally mirroring those times today. And so this is a word to us. This is a fresh word, though written some 1900 years ago. It's a fresh word for us today. Fresh instruction straight from the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be very careful then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise,
redeeming the time. So Paul says, here's what you do. Because the days are evil, because evil prevails, there's all kinds of wrong that's going on. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to redeem the time. Now, what is he talking about? When he says redeeming the time, he's talking about making the most of every opportunity that you face throughout your day. But not just from a natural perspective, but the only way we're going to make the most of those opportunities is by wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. It's for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. Amen. And so what he's saying to us today, he's saying that instead of just plowing through our day, head down, not paying attention to everything, take a moment and slow down. Take a moment and look around. Take a moment and begin to notice what's happening around about you in your particular situation that you're in that very moment. Pay attention to the effects that sin is having in maybe the person you're talking to, or maybe the situation that you're in. Maybe it's something that's happening in your community, at the job, wherever it is. Stop and just take a moment. Pay attention to what's happening in your family and do something about it. So good into that situation. I've talked to people who have a lifetime where they have spent sowing evil. And when it's time for harvest is usually when I see a lot of them. When we see them in church because times are tough and they need an answer. I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying that's the reality of our society. And so when they begin to have to harvest some of those things because what they planted, you see, what you sow, you're going to reap. We understand that. And so if you sow to the flesh, the Bible says that you'll reap corruption. You'll reap of the flesh. That's just the way that it goes. And so they say, Pastor, what am I going to do? The first thing I say is give your heart to Christ. Give your life to Him. And then start living for Him. Well, how do I do that? Start sowing good. There's going to have to be a price to pay. There's always a cost for sin. Hear me, church. There's always a cost for sin. It's never free. There's always a price to pay. And it will always take you farther than you ever thought you'd go. And do things that you never thought you'd do. So give your life to Christ. Start living for Him. How do I do that? Begin to sow good. Begin to live out of the Word. And you know what will happen? Is because you're going to have to reap certain things that you sowed. That's just the way. It's a law of God. It's a law of God. None of us get a free pass. But here's what you can do. Is you begin to sow good and you'll begin to reap good. After a while, you'll come out of the harvest of some of those things. There'll be some things you'll never be able to change. Because the cost was so great, but God will give you grace to bear up underneath it. But do good. Paul says, redeem the time. How do you do that? When you come into a situation and you begin to see the effects of sin and Satan and just all of the stuff that's happening in somebody's life, begin to sow good into them. Begin to sow the Word of God into them. Begin to sow light into them. And after a while, you'll be amazed at how it will change their lives. But you've got to sow into them the goodness of the Lord. You know, light overcomes darkness, right? Amen. Light overcomes darkness every time. There's never a time where it doesn't. So overcome darkness with light. Overcome sadness with the joy of the Lord. If someone is sick, pray for them. If they have lack in their lives, you be their supply and help. Don't just walk by, but make a difference for the good. Because the other side of this story is that because of the times, Jesus Himself stepped up to the microphone and He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And He gave His life a ransom for you and for me. I'm going to tell you something, that made a world of difference. Because of the times, Jesus stepped up to the mic and He said, I'll send you a comforter. He'll be a helper and He'll strengthen you and He'll cover you and He'll encourage you and He'll empower you and help you to walk through this life. Listen to me, because of those very same times, Jesus stepped up to the mic and here's what He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'll come back for you one day so that where I am, you can be there too. Because of the work that Jesus did for us. Paul wasn't giving us this insight in Ephesians 5 simply to inform us so that we can hunker down in our safe zones and in our bomb shelters and just ride it out until we go to heaven. That insight was given to the church as a clarion call to action, a call to step up to the mic and to work for the Lord. Too often, too many just keep their heads down and simply adjust and adapt to their surroundings. But what we need to be reminded of this morning is that as children of God, we're not called to adjust, but we're called to advance. We're not supposed to adapt to the times. We've been created and called by God Himself to step up and make a difference. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put," listen to this, "neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on a stand, a prominent place in the house, so that everyone can see." The light that God has given you is for everyone to see. How do we know that? Because here's what he says. This is Jesus talking to you and talking to me. He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your heavenly Father." You see, we've been called to make a difference. Don't believe the lie that you can't do anything. Don't believe the lie that you can't make a difference, because in Christ, you can. Take a look at this picture. In this picture, you'll see 14 wooden matches laying side by side in a row. On the left of that picture, you'll see there's 7 matches that are burnt. On the right of that same picture, you'll see 7 matches that aren't. Here's the question. Why aren't all the matches burned? They're not all burnt because one match was moved away from the flame, and the flame burned out before the rest were burned up. Sometimes we wonder, what am I doing here? Am I making a difference? Especially when the heat gets turned up. But listen to this. The Bible says in Psalm 37 that the Lord guides us in the way that we should go. God may have you in that very place and in that very moment to redeem the time, to restore someone's life, to restore someone's family, to be a light in a dark place and make a difference. But you've got to allow God to place you. You've got to cooperate with Him. And then when you're there, you've got to make a difference. Be the one that makes the difference. You see, you and I have a choice. We have a choice in those situations. Even though you've been created for greatness, even though you've been called and equipped to make a difference in your world, you don't have to step up. You can keep your head down. You can keep your focus on your routine. But please know this, it will come at great cost. There'll come a day, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but maybe a year from now, where you'll find yourself in deep regret because of the choices you made to walk by and to not make a difference. Don't believe the lie that you can't do anything, that your life is worth nothing, that you can't make a difference. It's not true. It's not true. It's not what your Father speaks over you every day. It's not what he is working out for you. He's working out things so that you can step up to the mic and that you can do great things for Him. So today, let's recommit ourselves to be careful, to begin to pay attention in our daily walk. And let's make the most of every opportunity. Let's be the one. Even if nobody else decides to step up, let's be the one that lets God move us into a place to where we make the difference.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.